Good morning. Welcome to our Friday morning chapel. I apologize. I'm dealing with an irritation in my right eye today, so my apologies for looking more ghoulish than usual. Please join me in the responsory as you find it on our bulletin for today. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Alleluia. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. O Heavenly Father, chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and has taken away the sins of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death. And by his rising to life again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Alleluia. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Acts, written by Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chapter 1, select verses. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers and said, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of the resurrection." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. There's a very interesting artifact that was found in Europe years ago. I believe it was a woman from France. This is around 500 AD, so 500 or so years after the time of Christ. She had traveled to the Holy Land, made a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem and the Holy Land, and she had made a box about the size of the top of the pulpit here. A box maybe 3-4 inches deep, and on one side of the box it had hinges, and on one side were little compartments. And there were rocks in there, little, probably about 8 different compartments with rocks in them. And on the other side, that the lid that closed over it, corresponding to those compartments, there were little Bible passages telling about different things that happened in the life of Jesus. And apparently she had gone to different sites where they thought his crucifixion was, where his resurrection was, maybe where his birth had been, where a miracle had taken place. And she had picked up rocks and put them in this little cute little box and kept it as a souvenir of having gone and visited the Holy Land. It's interesting, this concept of making a pilgrimage, to go back to something, especially the Holy Land. People do this all the time, although right now it's not the time to go visit the Holy Land. But this is a very common thing. There's something in us that wants to be back closer to the time of Christ and also to Christ himself. There's something inside of us that wants to, as Christians especially, wants to go back and be closer to Jesus and to find the things that would make him feel and seem so much closer to us. And along with this, there's something in us that wants our reason, our logic, our minds to be able to grab onto something that might give us a little bit more proof, might give us a little more something to hold on to as far as our having faith in Jesus. We want things that will help us process according to how we look at things in life and the way our minds tend to work and process things. And there's a desire in us to kind of scratch that itch, if you will, or to feed that and to somehow get answers for that. Inside of each one of us is a deep stubbornness in our human reason and logic. It's almost like we feel that God has to prove himself to us. God has to do something to convince me that I think something is worthy of believing in. It's interesting that following the resurrection of Lazarus, when Jesus brought Lazarus back to life from the dead, there were people that witnessed that resurrection. And this is what it says in the book of John 11. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many miraculous signs." And the next line says they decided to plot to kill him. Now, think of that. You're one of the people that witnesses seeing someone rise from the dead. You're seeing Christ call him out of his tomb. And what do? You go back to Jerusalem and meet with a group of people to kill the guy that did this. The stubbornness of our natural human reason is something that can overpower us as well. I often wonder with Malchus, when Malchus had his ear cut off the night of Jesus' arrest, and Jesus so kindly and wonderfully put that ear back miraculously on his head and healed his ear and everything, did he continue in the group that arrested Jesus? We don't hear anything more about the story, but I think he probably did. He probably did. He had just experienced a miraculous healing from Christ and probably more than likely kept trying to arrest him. A man who used to serve as chaplain here many years ago said this once, "Reason is never more unreasonable than when it insists on reasoning in things that are above reason." St. Paul says this about each one of us. "The mind of sinful man is hostile to God." He says, "The man without the Spirit," that means just how we are by nature, "the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God." And yet, what do we hear in our text about Jesus too? He says, Jesus presented himself to these people, to his disciples and others, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. 40 days, that would take you back to when we were still in classes before spring break. Think all the things that have happened in your life in the last 40 days. And all the people you've seen and touched and so on. That's all been in 40 days. Think of all the people that Jesus could have talked to and witnessed to, and others that came and sat with him. And we're told at one time there were more than 500, double probably what's in the sanctuary today, that listened to him. And yet there were probably among those as well people who didn't believe, or maybe did for a while and fell away. But the disciples in our text replace Judas, who of course had defected from Christ and took his own life. And they select someone who had been with Jesus during his entire 3-year ministry. This is what we read in our text, that they found someone who had been with him since the time of John's baptism, who could give certainly convincing proof to people that he had witnessed the risen Christ. One commentator says this about this man, Matthias: he must be one who had been seen and heard and touched and eaten with, who had been instructed by the risen Christ. Now, certainly being an eyewitness to the resurrected Christ emboldened the disciples. You can see a dramatic change in them, that they go out into the world. Many of them die for preaching this very thing. Being an eyewitness emboldened them to preach about the power of the resurrection and what it would mean for people in their lives. And many of them would go on to even write about it. It's the very event that made them so willing to give up their lives for the cause of the gospel. And yet, we're often tempted to still want proof, aren't we? There was a professor out at MIT who is a professor of nuclear science, and he was an adult convert. He was not brought up as a Christian, but in, I believe, his 30s, he became a Christian. And he says he often gets pestered by fellow faculty members who are all scientists. How in the world can you believe in the resurrection? I want to read a statement that he makes. Science cannot and does not disprove the resurrection. Natural science describes the normal, reproducible working of the world of nature. Indeed, the key meaning of nature is the normal course of events. Miracles like the resurrection are inherently abnormal, okay, beyond and above the laws of nature. It does not take modern science to tell us that humans don't rise from the dead. A bare presumption that science has shown the resurrection to be impossible, he says, is an intellectual cop-out. Science shows no such thing. When we were on a trip a few years ago back to Israel, to the Holy Land, with some students from Bethany, some of you have maybe heard me tell this. One night, a bunch of the students wanted to meet with me, and we'd been there about a week. And their assumption was that by just going back to the Holy Land and being there, their faith would get stronger. And so I asked them, I said, well, where in the Bible does it tell you that by going back and seeing places where Jesus walked, your faith will get stronger? And they said, I guess nowhere. I said, where does the Bible tell you that your faith will get stronger? Well, through the word and sacraments. I said, exactly. This is how God operates in the spiritual realm. This is how faith is created. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The very apostles that we think it would be fun to see someday and to talk to and to hear about their own first eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection, they do talk to you. They do talk to me, but in a more powerful way through the work of the Holy Spirit in the inspired word of God. That is how God creates faith. That is where God would have you find Christ, through his word and sacraments. And so in that faith we live. The just shall live by faith. As Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thanks be to God for that gift of faith. Amen. Please rise. In the last few days, we've received very sad news that one of our retired professors, Professor Mark Weekman, is now struggling with stage 4 melanoma cancer, and it is terminal. We'd like to have a prayer for him and his family today. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your dear child, Mark, And we pray that you would give him strength and ability to get through this horrible situation. If it is your will, Lord, we pray that you would relieve him of this suffering and reverse this diagnosis. And yet we know that he is in your hands. We pray especially above all that you would grant him and the members of his family a firm confidence in your many wonderful promises to us, and give them the reassurance of the hope of our own resurrection of our bodies someday from the dead. And we pray that you would strengthen him in this faith and remind him continually that you will work all things for his eternal good. Teach all of us to number our days, that we may gain hearts of wisdom through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray it all in his saving name. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.